4. The Answer to Prayer. On the way from Bethany to Pella, the apostles asked Jesus many questions, all of which the Master freely answered, except those involving the details of the resurrection of the dead. Such problems were beyond the comprehension capacity of his apostles, therefore did the Master decline to discuss these questions with them. Since they had departed from Bethany in secret, they were alone. Jesus therefore embraced the opportunity to say many things to the 10, which he thought would prepare them for the trying days just ahead. The apostles were much stirred up in their minds and spent considerable time discussing their recent experiences as they were related to prayer and its answering. They all recalled Jesus' statement to the Bethany messenger at Philadelphia when he said plainly, "This sickness is not really to the death." And yet, in spite of this promise, Lazarus actually died. All that day, again and again, they reverted to the discussion of this question of the answer to prayer. Jesus' answers to their many questions may be summarized as follows. 1. Prayer is an expression of the finite mind in an effort to approach the infinite. The making of a prayer must, therefore, be limited by the knowledge, wisdom, and attributes of the finite. Likewise must the answer be conditioned by the vision, aims, ideals, and prerogatives of the infinite. There never can be observed an unbroken continuity of material phenomena between the making of a prayer and the reception of the full spiritual answer thereto. 2. When a prayer is apparently unanswered, the delay often betokens a better answer, although one which is for some good reason greatly delayed. When Jesus said that Lazarus' sickness was really not to the death, he had already been dead 11 hours. No sincere prayer is denied an answer except when the superior viewpoint of the spiritual world has devised a better answer, an answer which meets the petition of the spirit of man as contrasted with the prayer of the mere mind of man. 3. The prayers of time, when indited by the spirit and expressed in faith, are often so vast and all-encompassing that they can be answered only in eternity. The finite petition is sometimes so fraught with the grasp of the infinite that the answer must long be postponed to await the creation of adequate capacity for receptivity. The prayer of faith may be so all-embracing that the answer can be received only on paradise. 4. The answers to the prayer of the mortal mind are often of such a nature that they can be received and recognized only after that same praying mind has attained the immortal state. The prayer of the material being can many times be answered only when such an individual has progressed to the spirit level. 5. The prayer of a God-knowing person may be so distorted by ignorance and so deformed by superstition that the answer thereto would be highly undesirable. Then must the intervening spirit beings so translate such a prayer that, when the answer arrives, the petitioner wholly fails to recognize it as the answer to his prayer. 6. All true prayers are addressed to spiritual beings, and all such petitions must be answered in spiritual terms, and all such answers must consist in spiritual realities. Spirit beings cannot bestow material answers to the spirit petitions of even material beings. Material beings can pray effectively only when they pray in the spirit. 7. No prayer can hope for an answer unless it is born of the spirit and nurtured by faith. Your sincere faith implies that you have in advance virtually granted your prayer hearers the full right to answer your petitions in accordance with that supreme wisdom and that divine love which your faith depicts as always actuating those beings to whom you pray. 8. The child is always within his rights when he presumes to petition the parent, and the parent is always within his parental obligations to the immature child, when his superior wisdom dictates that the answer to the child's prayer be delayed, modified, segregated, transcended, or postponed to another stage of spiritual ascension. 9. Do not hesitate to pray the prayers of spirit longing. Doubt not that you shall receive the answer to your petitions. These answers will be on deposit, awaiting your achievement of those future spiritual ideals of actual cosmic attainment, on this world or on others, whereon it will become possible for you to recognize and appropriate the long-waiting answers to your earlier but ill-timed petitions. 10. All genuine spirit-born petitions are certain of an answer. Ask, and you shall receive. But you should remember that you are progressive creatures of time and space. Therefore, must you constantly reckon with the time-space factor in the experience of your personal reception of the full answers to your manifold prayers and petitions.